The Oldest Member.
Listen to the tale of a stalwart male who lost his well-known nanny. Donald was his name, and golf was the game that made him gray like his granny. He practiced much.
Morris Denham, as the oldest member, tells another tale by P.G. Woodhouse. Today, Farewell to Legs.
In the locker room every night, he'd sing of his awful plight. Oh, the dirty little Bill went rolling out.
The clubhouse at Pryor's Heath Golf Course is usually a peaceful place, where men quietly discuss their recent games with proper gravity and purpose. But it's different on Saturday night, when some of the younger members bring their girlfriends into the bar. Now voices are loud and mingled with laughter. A note of revelry creeps in, and the oldest member creeps out. He flees to the deep peace of the card room, there to meditate and relive games of long ago. But tonight he's awoken by a fellow refugee.
Mind if I sit down?
No, please do.
Oh, I can't stand it out there any longer.
Well, this Saturday night bacchanalia is not to my taste, but you're young. I'd have thought you'd enjoy it.
I did, until Josh Hook started with his blasted bits of string.
Bits of string?
Oh, he's doing silly tricks with bits of string, and all the girls are fawning over him, as if he were Clark Gable. Makes me sick.
And is your fiancée among them?
Yes, she is.
Rest assured, all will be well. This man's tricks with string may dazzle the girl tonight, but his glamour will pass. She'll be herself tomorrow.
You think so?
Oh, I'm convinced of it. I've seen many of these party hounds. Their appeal never lasts. And as for this Hook, well, his laughter is as the crackling of thorns under the pot. And his handicap is 24. No, he's just another Legs Mortimer.
Who was Legs Mortimer?
Precisely what Angus McHugh wanted to know when he saw him blowing kisses at Evangeline Brackett from the clubhouse veranda.
Angus McHugh? Evangeline Brackett?
I perceive you're anxious to hear the whole story.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you.
I shall tell you. Angus McHugh was a serious golfer. And in Evangeline Brackett, he seemed to have found his female counterpart. The two had just become engaged and seemed set for a rosy future both in life and on the links. And then this interloper came loping into their lives. Angus was first aware of him as they finished a round one day and made their way back to the clubhouse. He was shocked to observe a young man leaning on the veranda rail and blowing kisses at his betrothed. What was worse, the young man had a natural wave in his hair.
Evangeline, who is that man?
Hmm? Who? Where?
Fellow on the veranda. Seems to know you.
Oh! It's Legs! Oh!
Just a moment, Evangeline. Did you say Legs?
Yes, Legs Mortimer. Oh, come on, let's go over and talk to him. Legs Mortimer? It's you.
In person, not a cartoon. Honey, you look lovelier than ever.
Thank you. But what are you doing here?
Everyone's got to be somewhere, sweetness. And I've moved to Pryor's Heath. Bought the Clive's old house. I joined this club as a social member, and very social I mean to be.
But that's marvellous. You'll really wake this place up.
Trust me, beautiful. There'll be many a jocund party thrown in this mausoleum now old Legs is here.
Yes, sorry. Legs, this is my fiancé, Angus McHugh.
Okay, Angus McHugh, how do you do? Hoots, man, scuts, wahey, long may your rum reek.
With mounting horror, Angus watched as the newcomer broke into a sort of Highland fling. He realized with sinking heart that here was a life and soul of the party man, a perfect scream, a priceless fellow who simply makes you die with the things he said. What I earlier called a party hound. But what was he to Evangeline? And what right had he to be so familiar? As he walked her home, Angus broached the subject carefully.
Evangeline?
Yes, Angus?
This fellow Mortimer.
What about him?
Exactly. What about him? Who is he? Where did you meet him? What's his handicap?
Well, I met him in Switzerland last winter. He was staying at the same hotel. He has a private fortune, and he doesn't play golf.
Doesn't play golf?
No, but he's wonderful at skiing.
Oh.
What?
I said for. Skiing, indeed. Why should a man want to ski? Is there not enough sadness in life without fixing two planks to your feet and going round jumping off mountains?
Oh, Angus, don't be so stuffy.
Stuffy, is it? Well, remember this. It's just a short step from skiing to yodeling. Mind you, I'm not accusing the man, but it could happen.
It has happened.
Hmm?
Over there, Legs used to yodel all the time.
He yodeled?
Hmm. He used to yodel at the Swiss waiters to make them feel at home.
Faugh.
I wish you wouldn't keep saying faugh.
It's enough to make anyone say faugh.
Angus went home in somber mood. He was right to be concerned. As days went by, Evangeline was clearly becoming infatuated with this yodeling trick cigar merchant. It blighted her hours with Angus. And all the time it was Legs this or Legs that or yoo-hoo, Legs, we're over here. The one consolation for Angus was that Evangeline had never faltered in her devotion to the great game. Her eyes were firmly set on the lady's spring medal, and she and Angus practiced together daily. But even here the worm was in the bud. What was the point of practice when Legs Mortimer kept throwing parties and the girl always attended them? She was wearing herself out. Each night, or rather each morning, it was a race between her and the milkman as to which would reach her doorstep first, with the milkman winning 3 times out of 4. Things came to a head one day when a sudden yawn caused Evangeline to top a niblick shot, which once she'd have laid dead to the pin. Angus knew it was time to speak.
Rats and double rats!
Well, what can you expect if you stop up half the night at parties?
Oh, you really think that's hurting my game?
It is ruining your game.
But everyone goes to parties.
Not when they have an important match in prospect.
Oh, and Legs' parties are such fun. He really makes them go.
Oh, yes.
Oh, he's a perfect scream. You should have seen him last night. He asked Jack Prescott to help him with a trick, and he got him to lay both hands on the table, palms downward. Then Legs put a full glass of water on each hand.
Evangeline, if you are going to survive as a golfer, you must give up these orgies.
Well, if you think it's affecting my golf, I'll try and cut them down. But I must go to the one on Friday.
Why?
Well, I promised. It's Lex's birthday.
It's also the night before the spring medal.
Oh, gosh, yes. Still, like I said, I'll have to go.
In that case, I shall come too.
But you always go to sleep at parties. You should see Legs's impression of you going to sleep at a party. It's a scream.
It's possible I might doze off briefly, but I shall wake in time to take you home at a reasonable hour.
But I don't want to go home at a reasonable hour.
You prefer to finish 16th in the spring medal?
Oh, don't say that.
I do say it.
16th?
Or 17th, it would depend on whether or not Granny Pratt had her new glasses.
Very well, then. Come to the party. And take me home before midnight.
That Angus made such arrangements is proof of his devotion. On Friday night, the prospect of the party seemed even more horrific. It had been a warm day, and he'd done his 54 holes, was now ready for repose. But his beloved had to be rescued from the rebels in time for a good night's rest. So Angus stifled his yawns and his urge to don his pyjamas. Instead, he got into a stiff shirt and dress clothes, took a precautionary dram, and plunged into the fray. A shock awaited him. This fine old clubhouse had been festooned with streamers, balloons, Chinese lanterns, gold-tooth saxophonists, giggling girls, and light refreshments. A citizen of ancient Babylon would have beamed at such a spectacle, but Angus was appalled. His idea of a clubhouse was a sort of cathedral, where golf was treated with proper reverence. His displeasure grew as he watched his betrothed dancing with Mortimer. Now, Angus knew nothing of the foxtrot technique, and so was uncertain as to whether or not the fellow was entitled to hold his girl like that. In any case, he didn't like it. As the dance ended, Evangeline and Mortimer disentangled themselves and came over to greet him.
Angus, you're here! I never thought you'd make it.
Good evening, Evangeline. Mortimer?
Hail, son of Caledonia! Hey, what a great dress suit! Do you think that style will ever come back?
Legs, you are a riot! Take no notice, Angus. He teases everyone.
I suppose you'll insist on whisking this lovely creature away to trip the light fantastic?
Oh, don't be silly. Angus never learned to dance. He was afraid it would spoil his golf stance.
Well, one man's meat is another man's risso. Come on, beautiful. This is going to be a quick step.
The bands struck up again, and Angus watched with mounting resentment as Legs Mortimer wrapped Evangeline in a warm embrace, and they began to jig about. At last he could stand the hubbub no longer. There was an annex, soothingly dark, at the end of the room, and into this he withdrew. He sank into a chair and immediately fell into a restful slumber. How long he slept, he couldn't have said, but it seemed at a moment, but no doubt it was more. He was aroused by someone shaking him and woke to find Legs Mortimer at his side. Mortimer's face was full of alarm, and he was shouting something, which, after a moment's fuddled thought, Angus recognised as the word fire. The last mist of sleep rolled away from Angus McHugh, and instantly he was his keen, alert self. With a cry of Evangeline, he sprang to his feet, and the next moment he had shot into the ballroom at great speed and was skidding along the polished floor on one ear. Angus now observed that during his slumbers, someone had affixed roller skates to his feet. He also noticed that there was, in fact, no fire, and the band was playing merrily. No, Angus McHugh was not a roller skater. Nevertheless, he managed to get to his feet and stagger a few steps before starting to totter, his arms rotating like aircraft propellers. Alas, he was airborne only briefly and then fell with a crash to the ground again. The poor fish was surrounded by a sea of happy, laughing spectators. And he realized with dismay that the happiest, laughingest face among them was that of Evangeline Brackett, and it was now that a good deal of iron entered his soul. I shall not prolong the account of Angus McHugh's discomfiture. Suffice to say that he sustained three more falls, in a manner which he heard Miss Brackett compare to the delivery of sacks of coal. He then escaped on all fours to the kitchen, where a kindly waiter removed the skates in return for a mere pound note. After that, Angus crept out into the night, a large bruise on his right thigh and a worse one on his heart. Once home, he rubbed himself with liniment and went to bed. His mood was bitter. He'd been betrayed. And if his fiancée was ready to laugh like a mentally arrested hyena to his suffering, well, good riddance to her. When Angus woke the next day, his feelings had softened. He was inclined to think that the girl had merely been misled. He reflected on the corrupting effect of balloons and Chinese lanterns and persuaded himself that once removed from such malign influence, Evangeline might yet be saved for humanity. So, when she rang, he was inclined to forgiveness.
Hello?
Good morning, Angus. How are you today?
Oh, I'll do.
Good. No ill effects from last night?
Let's not talk about last night.
You are caddying for me in the ladies' medal today, aren't you?
Of course.
Splendid. I was afraid you might want to be off somewhere. Roller skating? See you later.
There are times when a woman's laugh is as heavenly music, raising the spirit and bringing balm to the soul, but this was not one of them. This particular laugh made Angus as sore as a gumboil. When he met her on the links at 10 o'clock, he was in a black mood. I shall not dwell on their nightmare progress through the first 9 holes. It was inevitable, of course. Evangeline, after yet another late night, muff shots all over the place. And instead of lending help and comfort, the wounded Angus sulked and criticised. And so Evangeline reached the halfway stage in some trouble. In fact, 5 strokes adrift. The walk to the 10th took the couple past the clubhouse. And thus it was that they encountered Legs Mortimer, lounging as usual against the veranda rail with a glass in his hand.
Greeting, gentles. How goes the battle? Evangeline knocking them all for 6, as usual?
Hardly that. I'm not in luck this morning.
Luck has nothing to do with it.
Ooh.
Ah, Angus McHugh, the cock of the north. Now, listen, Marie Haggis, I think it's going to be all right. I've spoken to the manager of an important circus. He says if your skating act is as good as he's heard, he'll book you solid.
Oh, yes.
Angus was aware that, as the cut and thrust of repartee goes, oh yes was scarcely a winner. But in truth, he hadn't the gift of verbal swordplay. What he really wanted to do was to take Mortimer's head in both hands and twist it round and round till he came unstuck. However, Mortimer was a large, well-built animal, and McHugh was somewhat slight, so he contented himself with...
Oh, yes.
And then, taking his courage in both hands, he ventured an extremely hostile...
Is that so?
Well, boys and girls, none of you look too happy at the moment. I shall speed to the bar and get another of these. When I return, I shall cheer you up.
Heavens preserve us.
Oh, Angus, for goodness sake.
What do you mean by that?
By what?
For goodness sake.
You know very well what I mean by for goodness sake. I mean, behaving like that to poor Legs.
Like what?
Like a sulky schoolboy.
Oh.
I simply can't understand you.
You can't you?
Any man with a grain of humour would have laughed himself sick at what happened last night.
He would he?
Yes, he would. When Legs played that trick on the Prince of Schlossing-Lossing, the Prince was fearfully amused.
Oh, he was he?
Yes, he was. He'd had the sense to fill up on gin so he didn't feel any pain.
Well, I'm not a prince.
I'll say you're not.
What does that mean?
You're a... Well, I don't know what you are.
Is that so?
Yes, that is so.
Indeed?
Yes, indeed.
Well, I'll tell you what you are.
What?
You want to know?
I do.
All right, then. You're the girl who's going to be 17th in the ladies' medal.
Oh, don't talk nonsense.
I'm not talking nonsense.
Well, then it's the first time.
Listen, these wretched parties and that buffoon Mortimer have destroyed your game.
Oh.
Your eye is dull, woman. You're peely-wally, your hand trembles. You hold your club as if it were a cocktail shaker.
I see. Well, Mr. McHugh, kindly hand me my bag of clubs and I shall trouble you no further.
Evangeline.
Miss Brackett, to you.
Darling, this is absurd. You know I worship the very tea you drive off. Are you going to let that pustule Mortimer come between us? Is our happiness to be ruined by a snake in the bosom?
My clubs, please, and quickly. I can't stand here all day. Ah, here comes Legs again.
Hello there. I thought I heard raised voices.
Mr. McHugh is unable to continue as my caddy. There's just 9 holes to go. Would you care to carry for me?
Of course, sweetheart. Carry what?
My clubs, darling.
Oh, the jolly old hockey knockers. My pleasure, fair lady.
Hockey knockers. He called them hockey knockers. Evangeline, stop this madness before it's too late.
Good day to you, Mr. McHugh.
So saying, Evangeline stalked off towards the 10th tee. Mortimer tilted his hat, donned a false moustache, which he'd produced from his pocket. Then he danced a few steps, said hot dog, shouldered the bag, and followed. And now a remarkable thing happened. While Angus lurked in the club bar, Evangeline Brackett burned up the second half of the Prior's Heath course. She was seething with rage at Angus's remarks, and somehow the rage fueled a remarkable physical vigour and sense of purpose. Mortimer entertained her between shots. As always, when wearing a false moustache, she constantly waggled the ends, and she felt she'd never seen anything so droll. The girl wondered why she'd ever let Angus caddy for her. He'd taken all the zip from her game just by mooching around like a frozen asset. Playing like a demon, Evangeline repaired the damage of the first nine holes and arrived at the 18th in a strong position. A low score here must win her the medal. Standing on the last tee, she chatted merrily.
What I love about you, Legs, is your sense of humour.
What I love about me is everything.
Don't you hate people with no sense of humour? I mean, well, Scotsmen and people like that. I mean, I'd be the first to laugh if someone played a joke on me.
Good for you.
Now then, give me a new ball, will you? I don't want to foozle the last hole.
Your wish is my command, madam. Here we are, on the tee.
As the girl raises her club for a triumphal final drive, I must tell you what was befalling Angus McHugh. The lad had tired of sitting hunched on a bar stool, where he put several members in mind of Napoleon at Santa Elena. A feeling exercise might help, he took a walk on the links, and chance decreed that he should approach the 18th tee just as Evangeline drove off. A row of bushes prevented his seeing this event, but he was astonished to hear raucous laughter, awful quacking Legs Mortimer laughter, mingled with a loud cry from Evangeline. Next he heard feet pounding on the turf, and then around the end of the bushes came Legs Mortimer, trying to break the world's speed record. Behind him, her face flushed, came Evangeline Brackett swinging a golf club. She seemed to be trying to brain him, if it's possible to brain a man like Mortimer. It was a strange sight, and Angus was moved to run after them as they sped across the grass towards a clump of trees. Here, Legs abandoned hope of outstripping his pursuer. He dodged behind a leafy oak, and with an adroitness born, no doubt, of his Swiss mountaineering, shinned up it like a squirrel. Evangeline stamped her foot angrily, and then, seeing Angus, ran to him and threw herself in his arms.
Oh, Angus!
Evangeline, you're trembling.
Oh, how right you were!
When?
When you told me Legs was a snake. Can you imagine what he did to me? Than that. I needed 5 on that last hole to win the medal. I asked him to put down a new ball. And what did he do?
Tell me.
He put down a ball of soap.
A ball of soap?
One of those wretched things you see in expensive chemists. Soap. Made to look like a golf ball. That's what he put on my tee.
The man's a pervert.
I came down on it like a ton of bricks, and it simply burst. I thought I'd broken myself in half.
Oh, you poor girl.
And speaking of breaking things in half, if you'll kindly climb that tree and tip out the contents, I'll see what can be done with this driver.
Angus pointed out that a public brawl would get them both in trouble with the committee. Besides, he said, there was a better way. And he gently led Evangeline 30 yards away from the tree. And there he revealed his thoughts.
There's a hornet's nest in that tree, about 3 inches above Mortimer's head.
Oh, yes. But there's nothing stirring.
Hornets tend to sleep late. Perhaps it's time we woke them. Could I borrow one of your clubs? Niblick, I think. Thanks. And an old ball. Here we go.
Oh! Good shot! Right on the nest! Don't look! They're swarming!
The scene that followed came straight from the Keystone Copse. Legs Mortimer catapulted from the tree and ran, apparently in speeded-up motion, across the greensward to the lake. He dived in, and having done so, seemed keen to remain submerged, for each time his head came up from the smelly depths, it went under again. Evangeline smiled and took her fiancé's hand.
I know my laughing sometimes annoys you, but I really don't think I can stop myself.
It's all right. There are times when laughter's in order, even on the golf links.
So, you see, Hedges, the cheap popularity of the show-off rarely lasts.
What happened to the dreadful Mortimer?
Oh, well, they fished him out of the lake eventually.
Pity.
Yeah, quite. But some of the members worry about water pollution. However, he went on to pay a heavy price for his silly tricks and inane jokes.
How so?
Well, predictably, he went to the United States and there became the master of ceremonies of some sort of wireless program. I believe they call it a quiz show. Ah, now I expect the bar may be quieter.
Oh. I'll go and see.
Oh, good. Bring mine back here, would you, dear boy? A large scotch will do nicely.
Listen to the tale of a stalwart male who lost his well-known nanny. Donald was his name and he got...
Farewell to Legs was narrated by Morris Denham in the role of the oldest member. Angus McHugh was played by Joe Dunlop, Evangeline by Glynis Brooks, Hedges by Stephen Kemble, and Legs Mortimer by Robert Bathurst. The Oldest Member is adapted by Edward Taylor and Michael Poynton from stories by P.G. Woodhouse and produced by Edward Taylor.
I took 13 and then by gosh I sunk her. I get no fun in the air and sun, but down in the traps I labor. I swear then to weep where the sand is deep till I want to murder my neighbor.